Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Reclaimed Woman by Kelly Brogan, MD, is a self-help and feminist-leaning wellness book that explores feminine identity, self-ownership, and personal sovereignty. Framed as a guide for women who feel disconnected, overburdened, or out of alignment with themselves, it argues that healing begins not with external correction, but with an internal return to wholeness. The book blends psychological reflection, cultural critique, and body-based language to encourage readers to confront shadow material, reduce self-betrayal, and develop what the author presents as self-safety. Rather than treating reclamation as a struggle to recover something lost, it reframes it as the act of ending internal conflict and embodying what has always been present. Its purpose is both interpretive and practical to challenge inherited stories about womanhood, while offering a vocabulary for authenticity, pleasure, and creative expression. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reclamation as inner integration rather than external victory. A central idea in the book is that reclamation is not mainly about winning back power from outside forces, but about ending the war within oneself. This distinction matters because it shifts the reader away from an adversarial model of healing and toward one based on integration. Brogan presents the problem as fragmentation women may outwardly possess freedom, yet still feel hollow, resentful, or split from their own desires. The book argues that these symptoms often come from internalized conflict rather than a lack of opportunity. By redefining reclamation as ownership of what already exists within, the book avoids a purely political or compensatory framework. Instead, it emphasizes coherence, self-trust, and the willingness to stop abandoning parts of oneself. That approach makes the book less about self-improvement in a conventional sense, and more about restoring internal alignment. For readers, the implication is that genuine change starts when self-criticism and self-division are replaced by honest recognition and acceptance. Secondly, shadow work as a route to self-knowledge without shame. The title signals one of the book's most important methods, learning to love the shadow. In this context, shadow refers to disowned traits, uncomfortable emotions, and impulses that women may have been taught to suppress or moralize against. The book does not treat these aspects as evidence of failure. Instead, it suggests they contain useful information about unmet needs, buried resentment, jealousy, desire, and fear. This is a significant framing choice because it turns shame into inquiry. Rather than asking readers to become more acceptable, the book asks them to become more honest. The practical benefit of this approach is that it can make self-observation less defensive and more compassionate. If anger, envy, or contradiction are treated as data rather than defects, they become accessible for reflection and integration. The book's emphasis on shadow work therefore serves a larger goal, helping readers understand themselves without the habitual reflex of self-punishment, which is presented as one of the main barriers to wholeness. Thirdly, self-safety as the foundation for expression, creativity, and pleasure. One of the book's more distinctive claims is that women must learn the skills of self-safety before they can fully embody creative expression. This places emotional and somatic security ahead of performance, productivity, or social approval. The logic is practical: when a person does not feel internally safe, they are more likely to say no when they mean yes, say yes when they mean no, or shape themselves to please others. The book connects this lack of safety with confusion around sexuality, relationships, and authenticity. Self-safety here is not just comfort. It is the capacity to remain present with one's own experience without collapse, denial, or overexplanation. That makes it foundational to pleasure as well, because pleasure requires receptivity and trust. In this framework, creativity is not a separate talent, but an expression of a regulated and internally supported self. The book, therefore, positions self-safety as a prerequisite for a more truthful and embodied life, not as an optional emotional skill. Fourthly, a critique of hollow modern womanhood and inherited cultural scripts. The book also offers a critique of the way modern womanhood is often lived and performed. It describes many women as outwardly free, yet inwardly overwhelmed, unfulfilled, or trapped in complaint and resentment. That critique does not simply blame individuals. It points to cultural scripts that reward compliance, self-erasure, and overfunctioning while promising fulfillment in return. The book suggests that feminism, sexual liberation, and medication have each solved some problems, but have not necessarily resolved the deeper issue of disconnection from self. This is a provocative argument because it resists easy celebration of progress and asks whether social permission alone is enough. The underlying implication is that external freedoms do not automatically produce inner coherence. Women may still feel pressured to manage relationships, explain themselves, make themselves small, or perform a version of empowerment that leaves them empty. By confronting these patterns directly, the book creates room for a more nuanced discussion of agency. Its value lies in identifying the gap between social narratives about liberation and the lived reality of many readers. Lastly, erotic pleasure, feminine gifts, and embodied authenticity. The book's language of feminine gifts and specific pleasures signals that it is not only concerned with healing problems, but also with reclaiming positive experience. Pleasure is treated as a legitimate dimension of identity, not a reward for fixing oneself. That matters because many self-help books focus on dysfunction, whereas this one ties recovery to embodiment, erotic awareness, and creative aliveness. The emphasis on feminine gifts suggests a view of womanhood that is not purely analytical or achievement-based. Instead, it invites attention to sensibility, receptivity, intuition, and desire as meaningful forms of knowledge. The book appears to use this framework to broaden what authenticity can look like in practice. Authenticity is not just speaking honestly. It is living in a way that matches internal truth, including bodily truth. This can be a challenging message for readers who associate desire or eroticism with conflict, guilt, or confusion. Still, the book's position is clear: reclaiming the self includes reclaiming the capacity to feel fully alive, and not merely to function well. In conclusion, The Reclaimed Woman is best suited for readers who want a reflective, body-aware, and psychologically oriented book about feminine identity, self-betrayal, and personal reclamation. It will likely appeal most to women who feel emotionally split, overextended, ashamed of their desires, or unsure how to reconcile independence with intimacy and embodiment. Men interested in contemporary conversations about feminine psychology and relational dynamics may also find it useful, though the book is written primarily for women. Its practical value lies in its language for self-safety, shadow work, and internal coherence, while its intellectual value comes from the way it critiques simplistic ideas of liberation and reframes healing as integration. Compared with many books in the self-help or women's wellness category, it stands out for its unapologetic focus on sovereignty, erotic aliveness, and the emotional costs of self-abandonment. It is less concerned with conventional productivity or confidence strategies than with the deeper question of how a woman becomes fully inhabited by her own life. That makes it distinctive, provocative, and likely memorable for readers who want more than surface-level empowerment. If you would like to support Kelly Brogan, MD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.